This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Getting to mental health now, where we talk to Anele Siswana about integrating African and Western healing. I feel like when it comes to spiritual healing, more particularly, because healing is both physical and spiritual, Black or African people, it's just a matter of PR. Our PR is just bad. And then Eastern, and honestly, you know, Anele is here and he'll take us through that. Is it that? Do we have, because we were just talking off air, it's about Amadlozi, which is African, and we also have an African god, and then the East and the Western, they have also have these psychic mediums and all of that. Is it bad PR? Or what is it? Why is our form of healing as Africans looked or shunned down upon? Why is there a reluctance?
I think for me, it stems from language. Because immediately we located from African and Western, already there's a comparison, right? And also the imagination that I've probably written about that. Western is very essentialized as objective. It's deemed as scientific, it's proven, it's academic, it's nice, right? African, we have all of these ways of knowing that have already or have existed over time. But our problem is probably one person who has done this so greatly is Credo Mutwa, right? But even him is deemed as a mythologist or is deemed as someone who's not probably academically oriented because his ideas don't stem from science in the way of how we understand science to be. So Credo Mutwa is Uhlanya basically in isiZulu, that is one of those people that saw realities that did not exist. But it's only now that we're paying attention to what he said, probably as a mythologist or whatever that we can call him, but for us, we can qualify it as a reality that is objective. Whereas he was deemed as a subjective figure that could tell these African realities.
All right. So let's then begin possibly with sharing some of your story, because you are that middle point merging and integrating African and Western ways of healing, right? From a mental health point of view. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, discovering that psychology is what you wanted to study, and then the underground gang also saying, hey, we also need you to study on this side too.
You know, as I was coming here, there's this song, I think, Haugele Tongolami, Haugele. Basically, it says, Tongolami, my ancestors, lead me, guide me, give me sense of what I'm trying to make sense of, because that world doesn't make sense, right? So when you're saying Haugele Tongolami, Angzenzanga Ngenziwe Ngabalele, it means I didn't choose this, but this chose me before I was born, right? As much as we can draw from biblical scriptures and say, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, like, even before I knew you, I sanctified you, that you'll be one amongst great nations. Ancestors have that language as well, but it's different. It's not biblical. So for my path to become inyang, it's something that was never in my script. However, I come from a family of Amahlanya, of meaning people who are called. My great-grandmother was called Nomakhosa. She was a gobela, she used to do that. And it became a generational gift, right? And I became one, unfortunately, that this guy said, I think this one is the right one that we can fall proud with. But the path to that was very Western. So I had an accident when I was young. I was hit by a car and I had a traumatic brain injury that people didn't understand. They treated this the physical manifestation of that. My brain got damaged. My mind was never damaged. How I began to make sense of that, when the brain is damaged, you can't dream. Your memory gets deterred. At one stage, I was partially, couldn't hear well because my temporal lobe epilepsy is damaged. My pituitary gland produced excessive hormones. There is no doctor, Vangeli, that I've never been to. Endocrinologist and all of that, you can name them. So the start was, an accident that made me look like I was mad.
Mm.
I used to live in a world of imaginations to in mountains and rivers and all of these places.
This is what you saw?
In my ears. And I thought I was crazy, right? Yeah. I would dream in all of this from a very young age. But only in 2017, when I had my spiritual awakening, that I went, because I had money now to see all of these specialists, I was admitted to different psychiatric hospitals because I was mad. My pituitary gland, I was told I would be blind and everything else like that.
I've just Googled what the pituitary gland is. It is like the master gland.
The master, gland. Yeah.
It controls brain, skin, energy, reproductive organs,
mood. Was diagnosed with bipolar. I was diagnosed with depression. I was diagnosed with psychotic symptoms because my world had always been imaginative.
Mm.
And there was no language of understanding that imagining of what it could mean. So where I'm going with this, medically, the science world was able to give me a diagnosis up until they said, I went to Waterfall for a major observation for 72 hours because I was in an active trans African way.
Yeah.
In the medical way, I was epileptic.
Mm.
So my brain was active and there were messages that were sent by the underground gang. But the medical world said, we don't know what's going on with this guy. Mm. I was discharged. The results came out negative because they said, your epilepsy is normal.
Oh. Mm.
However, when I went to a gobela, my current gobela now, she said, it was okay for you to experience that because we wanted to rule out. In the spiritual world, what you experienced was not epilepsy, but it was an active trance that you were not aware of because the gang was saying, it's time for you to respond to what was before you and what is yet to come.
So on that note, is it possible for the inverse to occur, that you think that you're having some sort of spiritual experience,
oh, definitely,
but perhaps it's a medical issue?
The difference within these two realities,
yes,
is that when it's clinical, like as a clinical psychologist, I'm able to pick up these symptoms, the psychological, the duration. Like for say, when one would say I was actively psychotic, right?
Mm.
Because I was seeing things, I was hearing things. But these things are very particular.
Okay.
Mm.
These are individuals you've not have seen, you've never seen. They say messages that you've never heard. It's weird.
Mm.
It is not humming.
When it's a spiritual message.
It is not humming.
Mm.
It does not cause disruption for you and those around you.
Oh.
Whereas with psychosis, it's a detachment from reality that has an impact for you and those around. When our way, we're saying a person is insane or is crazy, we can see that. However, my madness was contextually relevant for what I had to respond to, which is my calling to become igqirha.
The number to dial is 0861-987-000. We're speaking to Anele Siswana, who joins us as a clinical psychologist and so much more, talking about mental health and integrating African and Western ideas and ways of healing. Your calls and comments are always welcome, and you can also send us a tweet with the hashtag #PowerWeekendBreakfast. All right, so you're faced with what you're faced with, right? And you know, part of what happens in clinical psychology, I understand, is that it's that talk therapy, right? You can go through that kind of conversation. Is there something that would be similar in an African point of view, you know, where you have that kind of counseling? I'm looking for ways that there are similarities and ways that there are differences.
I think, let me punctuate it from my experience.
Mm.
And when we speak African, let's name it. I'm talking in the context of Amagqirha, that is diviners, African designers in the Xhosa way, Ubunyange and Ubungoma.
Okay.
That is traditional healers. You can contextualize it in that way. That is very therapeutic. How I have made sense of it, I understand why my ancestors needed me to be a psychologist first. Because you do an intake, you listen. So your sixth sense, they all operate, but now they add a seventh sense.
Mm-hmm.
That is the spiritual that is able to read in between the lines. So it's very therapeutic. How it happens in my context, I said most in the beginning, meaning Those guys don't send signals when they want to give you a message. Right? They just give you. But how I've been able to do that, I'm able to say, Pabi, it sounds as though you seem to like white. What is the relationship that you have with white? I'm probing. I'm not telling.
This is in a potential session that you're having.
Yes. So you'll be able to tell me the narrative around white. And I'll tell you, what about you with this thing? There's probing. I'm accessing and soliciting a conversation. Whereas most Ndumbeni is where you consult, I tell you.
Yes.
However, my way of doing it, I don't have to be Ndumbeni. Because already when I get to my practice, they already start talking.
Ah.
Right? But I'm then able to understand I'm a psychologist, right? So Ndumbeni, I can easily, if Nene Inkolo, which I don't use, my Inkolo, it's psychological.
What's Inkolo?
The things that you use to tell, to connect.
To connect.
So for me, I always say my gang is always 24/7 connected, because every space that they feel is the right time to come, they come. And not everyone, right? But when it's time for me to communicate that, as a therapist, by the time you get there, you don't even know that the gang was involved. But I'm very able to manage that, to say, okay, Gogo, okay, I'm cool, I hear. But what is it that, how can I channel this message? Because most people who want to come to see me, right? Chances are they don't want to see a diviner or a sangoma.
Yeah.
They want to see someone who has an understanding. So I can say that as much as I would say, Pavi, you've got bipolar, there's a psychiatrist that can do intense treatment and all of that. I'm able to say this is within the lines of what it could this be and psychological. However, for you to get a better understanding and a better prescription for this problem, which is most people that I've worked with, their chances are there in a petrol, because their psychological manifestation of what they came for was deeply located in the spiritual. But I have the gift of teasing out what is spiritual and what is psychological. For what is spiritual, I would say, go and see Gogo Mang Mang, who's going to help you with this. And come and give me feedback. If whatever that I was saying was crazy, you will validate that from your subjective experience.
Right.
But go to Dr. Mang Mang, who's a psychiatrist, who will be able to help you tease it out for yourself. But at the end of the day, when you've got these two worlds, you are then able to discern and say, what is going on with me? And for me, as an example, I knew that this was beyond what neurologists told me. This was, I was admitted in a ward where I was the last case number to be admitted for a surgery, because my brain, there was a leak in my brain, because the pituitary gland, there was something there. But the following day, doctor said, this is a rare case, so we can't do a surgery. Let's give him a chance.
A chance?
A chance that you can treat him with Epilim.
Okay.
Which is, you know, this way that I have, it was because of that medication. It is horrible. Because I was treated for something that was not there, right? So at the end of the day, I went to all of these specialists. But at the end of the day, my definite definition of my diagnosis, it was spiritual.
Yeah.
Hence, ngithwasa manje. Ask me, when last did I take my ADHD medication?
When last did you take your ADHD medication?
I don't know. Because I understand now, throughout this process, they are doing their own healing. That does not need medication. But that needs for me to go to a petlweni and experience them, translate all of these ordinances and things that were crazy as I was growing up, explain why my dreams are the way they are. Some dreams I had them probably when I was young, but they make sense now. That why did you have to go through this? And now I understand, for me to be able to be a diviner, to be able to be qualified enough for this journey, I have to undergo initiation. And initiation is on twofold. It's about formation and being trained on how to become igqirha or how to become a sangoma, so that you understand the codes and ethics of that world and the language of that. As much as I was trained to be a clinical psychologist for 7 years to understand how this world works. However, at the end of the day, when I'm done with my process, I'm then able to understand that these are two worlds that have different ethics at the end of it all, there's one principle, there's healing, there's holism, there's integration and restoration.
When it comes to the forms, I mean, when it comes to psychiatry or psychology, we know that it will be counseling, they sit you down or subscribe certain medications. Now, when it comes to the African form of healing, what are the practical tools? Because sometimes you would hear about water, and then some people would even use certain types of tobacco or impepo and all of those things. What are those tools and what are they designed for?
There are certain sacraments, right? Like you say. And I use the word sacrament because it's theological, which is, this process is very theological as well, but it's centered in African theology. Water is a sacred therapeutic tool that is energetic, that it's natural. So, as I said, there are different types of diviners. Like you have different types of medical doctors.
Okay.
So you've got igqirha, you've got ubunyango, ubungoma, and all of that. So there are different ways of punctuating and diagnosing and treating. But they say they are prophetic, but when it's true, those people would ideally use water because they can connect that they are water people. So you can only draw from that which is your gift.
Okay.
So they're able to connect with water and candle. At the same time, you have those people who are amagqirha, that is diviners, and they say that is people who see. They don't necessarily need to throw bones, but they can do that. They may not necessarily have that which we spoke about in Kaulapa. They use their imagination of what the world, what the gang gives them. Then you've got those ones who use herbs, imiti, because that's how they punctuate. So in an African spiritual context of healing, water, rivers, oceans, a certain animals and all of that, they are related to that. Hence, I call them sacraments that are essential for a particular kind of healing. There's a certain thing that you may not necessarily go to see a prophet, but you may need to see a medium for it, because for them, they are more, they give clarity. But izangoma and izinyangi, they then go far beyond diagnosis, but to treatment.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can be inyangi that has not undergone uktwasa, because though the underground gang gives you the language and the tools of how to understand, when I dream of that, and they are very specific where you're going to get it, and they give you the prescriptions, the only problem with us that is problematized is that it is not written.
So I was about to ask you about that, right? The DSM-5 is that book. We had that psychologist here with us yesterday, and that's how I learned about the DSM-5. So if you have bipolar, it tells you what the symptoms are, what you look out for, and then you get diagnosed. Ne? It is this diagnosis manual in the psychology world. Where is our African DSM-5? Is this what we're going towards? Is that what's going to shift the way we think and give authority to our African healing?
What I'm doing now, I'm giving authority. Oral authority. The Western, the DSM, is a Western authority. For us to get to, we call it the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. It's a universal manual book that specialists across the globe decide on the symptoms, the duration, and the presentation of that. You can't box the underground gang into a DSM.
Okay.
Because they manifest and present differently. I can't, it's only because I'm academic and I've got an academic gift to write that I may be able to articulate what I do. But my colleague and one who is gifted without the, I call it the social capital of academy.
Yes.
They may not be able to write it and articulate the way that I do.
But doesn't that put us in a quandary? Just that, you know, we know that we're claiming and giving authority to ourselves once again, right? And we have to go get it back because it was taken from us. Fine. But here we are. In a world that the DSM-5s do exist, what do we do? Or am I thinking of it from the wrong point of view?
You're thinking about it Western-wise.
I see, okay. Yeah.
The African way, we are good historians.
Yes, of course.
Right? We are indigenous people. Like, simple things about herbs, they are there.
Yeah.
If you go to the Muloys, there are things that probably that you would be ill of or get to understand that this thing, it only needs to go to home, where you connect with the Mloys, that you call, you know, Mvangeli, you go back to where you called Mvangeli. Mm-hmm. That is not recorded.
Yes.
Yeah. When you have those headaches that are persistent and they're like, what's going on? All it needs is for them to partner for you.
Yes.
A partner that is divinely connecting with those who are before you to say, give us the script of how to treat this problem.
Yeah.
So the DSM is a very useful tool. I use it to make sense of what is psychological, that is psychiatric. But then I've got a seventh sense that is able to say, in between this DSM, there are these realities that are not recorded, but only for this person. And so for us, we can't be boxed as healers. Mm. Right.
So we are the archive.
Yeah. In fact, we have a traditional healers act, right, that regulates traditional healers and that tells what you should do. But the problem is, endumbeni, you can't regulate.
Yeah.
You can't put a DSM. You can't say, when you have these dreams, it means this. Remember, with the DSM, it means bipolar because there have been studies, there's been research, there has been validity and reliability.
Sure.
Our reliability and validity is done by the underground king.
Is there prayer? Is there space for prayer when it comes to African healing? What is our history with prayer or meditation and so forth?
There is. Yeah. In fact, ukuphahla is a form of prayer.
Absolutely.
Right? It's African.
Yeah.
There's this woman, Dr. Nokzola Mnao, who's a professor, Professor Nokzola Mdende. Maybe you should have her one day.
Mm.
She did an African prayer where she says, and she calls upon all her ancestors because she says, I can't say uJesu obethele siphambanweni when I did not participate in doing that. But I know my ancestors. Right? So for me, I studied theology for 1 year and I got a certificate of competence. And from that reality, in this, as I was coming again, it's Easter, right? Mm-hmm. Coming then, I used to preach 7 words. Now I'm saying to myself, would I ever be able to preach 7 words? Because the theologies I have, they are made to seem that they are contradicting. So there's a place of prayer. I can't denounce probably that I was raised Christian, and my worldviews are very Christian orientated. And now with this other one, you are told path. So it means impande yami ngisuka khona ezizweni, right? And then I come across, and then I call abozulu magheba, right? And I call awudlangamandla matola and all of that. In that way, I'm praying.
Yeah.
Then I bring it to the center of it. So there is a place of prayer, but it's done differently. There's no Bible there. Your Bible relies on the underground king as to what is the script after Qedukuphahla.
But I mean, in the Bible, they go and they say, so and so, son of so and so, son of so and so, son of so and so. I mean, that's where we are. That's what we're doing, basically. I mean, I think we can have so many aspects of this conversation, but you know, you talk about holism.
Yeah.
Maybe we end there, right?
Great.
What do you imagine holism to be? And from a healing practitioner point of view, the practitioners of their future, you know, on African soil, what is holism?
It's being totally healed. And being totally healed, you may ask, from what? From all of these things that we struggle with. From my punctuation of where I'm at in the world, in terms of my purpose, in terms of my calling, holism means integration, right? Of all of these parts, yes, I may see bipolar for what it is, but I've begun to understand that beyond clinical diagnosis, there are realities that don't need that. I acknowledge it, I refer, but I make you conscious of realizing that with this holism, not only medication, not only therapy can help you, but to go home, that could be a therapy when certain things are happening. When you say, I can't give birth, I can't do this, I can't do that, you can go and speak to your elders and say, speak on my behalf to try and understand what is going on. So holism for me is subjective again.
Mm-hmm.
Holism means bringing all of these compartments into fullness.
Anele, someone tweeted here, when Anele speaks, you listen.
The gang speaks. The wisdom of the gang says, we'll say, we'll give you what we want you to say, not what you think is good for you to say.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's something similar. We do that.
Yeah.
We come in with like
a script.
What is supposed to come through us must come through us. It's very interesting.
And I mean, we had a conversation with Dinswalo, Leslie Dinswalo, and, you know, she spoke about speaking in purpose and how when she finally found her purpose, now she's writing a book and people are liberated. But Anele Siswana, thank you for also walking in your purpose because people clearly find healing, they find restoration. And in you choosing your path, it also brings fullness into your purpose and your calling and your gifts and the maturation of those gifts. So, siyabonga kakhulu, siyathokoza,
siyabonga.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.